Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Acts. Hey there, faithful listener. Welcome to the Bible Explained podcast. Today we are going to be finishing up Acts chapter 27, and we only have one more chapter after this one in the book of Acts, and we're going to move into the book of Romans. So that's going to be great. And today is going to be a great episode because we're going to be talking about prayer and whether or not it is effective. So let's read this. I will be reading out of the WEB as always. This is Acts 27, 27 through 44. Grab a cup of tea for you crazy tea drinkers out there, or a cup of coffee for you very normal coffee drinkers. I've got my coffee here today, and I'm enjoying it, so enjoy a nice hot beverage with me as we read Acts 27 together. But when the 14th night had come, as we were driven back and forth in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors surmised that they were drawing near to some land. They took soundings and found 20 fathoms. After a little while, they took soundings again and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that we would run aground on rocky ground, they let go 4 anchors from the stern and wished for daylight. As the sailors were trying to flee out of the ship and had lowered the boat into the sea, pretending that they would lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these stay in the ship, you can't be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and let it fall off. While the day was coming on, Paul begged them all to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you wait and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Therefore, I beg you to take some food, for this is for your safety, for not a hair will perish from any of your heads." When he had said this and had taken some bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and then he broke it and began to eat. Then they all cheered up, and they also took food. In all, we were 276 souls on the ship. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they didn't recognize the land, but they noticed a certain bay with a beach, and they decided to try to drive the ship onto it. Casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time untying the rudder ropes. Hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach, but coming to a place where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck and remained immovable, but the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, so that none of them would swim out and escape. But the centurion, desiring to save Paul, stopped them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should throw themselves overboard first to go toward the land, and the rest should follow, some on planks and some on other things from the ship. So they all escaped safely to the land. So where we left off on Tuesday, Paul was supposed to be making his way up to Rome to appeal in front of Caesar Nero. However, because nobody took the advice of Paul, who was a very well-traveled man, the ship that Paul is in is now experiencing this terrible storm. And the storm actually threw the entire ship across the Mediterranean Sea. Because this particular ship that Paul was on was a wheat ship. It was a ship that went from Alexandria to Rome specifically to transport wheat from Egypt to Italy. So Paul is on this ship, and this type of ship is not very good at sailing through high winds. So because of that, the captain of the ship had to allow the winds to just take the ship wherever the winds were going to take the ship. There was no use fighting against the winds because it wouldn't work, and also they could cause the ship to wreck. So now they have been out in this terrible storm with no relief whatsoever. And this storm is just throwing the ship wherever it wants to throw the ship. They have no clue where they're at. But Paul actually gave a message to the men that they should cheer up, because even though they didn't listen to him, he was like, "I told you so." He was like, "Even though you guys didn't listen to me, God is still going to save each and every one of you. So cheer up." But it doesn't seem like the men have cheered up very well, because they didn't believe Paul. He was just a lowly prisoner in their minds. But it says here, on the 14th night, as we were being driven back and forth in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors surmised that we were drawing near to some land. And this was exactly what Paul had predicted, had prophesied about. He had told the sailors, he had told the captain and the centurion that was with him that the ship was going to land on an island. Now, Paul did not know what island, but he said the ship will land on a particular island. I do not know which one, but every single person on this ship will be saved. So now the sailors are realizing that they're getting close to some land. They took their surroundings and found 20 fathoms away from the land is what it says. So it says in my footnote that 20 fathoms equal 120 feet, or for you guys that use the metric system, 36.6 meters. And after a little while, they took surroundings again and found 15 fathoms, which equals 90 feet or about 27.4 meters. So they are getting extremely close to land. And so they feared in verse 29, fearing that we would run aground on rocky ground, they let down four anchors and wished for daylight is what it says. So because they are getting extremely close to land, because 90 feet is very close, like my driveway is longer than that. 90 feet is very close to land. The sailors started getting extremely terrified because if they ran into rocky ground, they would most likely die because of a shipwreck. So they let four anchors down to hold the ship in place. And it says they wished or hoped for or prayed for, depending on the version that you're reading, for daylight so that they could see what was going on. This was all happening very early in the morning around after midnight. So it says the sailors, terrified, not only did they let down the anchors, but they start letting down the little boats as well because they're trying to make an escape. So it says they're trying to flee out of the ship in verse 30, and they lowered the boat into the sea, pretending that they would lay out anchors from the bow. So they're pretending that they're laying out more anchors, but meanwhile, they're like sneakily letting down the little boats that all the sailors can escape and leave the centurion and all the soldiers and all the prisoners behind. Okay, because they didn't actually care about any of the people that were on their boats. They just cared about their own lives. So they're pretending, they're like, we're letting down some anchors here, but you know, they're just letting down the little boat. And so somehow somebody finds out about this. Maybe it was Paul himself. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these stay in the ship, you can't be saved. So somehow, even though they were trying to be super sneaky, they got found out. Somebody saw them, somebody ratted them out. And so Paul tells the centurion, if the sailors do not stay in the ship with us, everyone will die. So the centurion actually listened to Paul. And I think the reason the centurion listened to Paul is because not only did he like Paul, but he also, I think, had a new respect for Paul because Paul knew what he was talking about when it came to traveling, as we discussed on Tuesday. So the centurion is figuring out that Paul has a lot of know-how with a lot of this stuff. So what ends up happening is the centurion listens to Paul. And so it says the soldiers cut away the ropes of the little boat and let it fall off. And I'm sure that the sailors weren't too happy about that. But the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, have pretty much total control of everything. So they let the little boat fall off and nobody got away. The escape plan did not work. So now the day is coming on. It says, and Paul was begging them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you wait and continue fasting, having taken nothing. And I didn't really talk about this point too much on Tuesday about why the men didn't take food. It's very possible, I think, that either they were so disheartened that they were having trouble eating because they truly believed that they were going to die, that every single one of them was going to die. They were either extremely disheartened or they were working around the clock and didn't think to eat. They could have also been fasting if they were religious in some way. We don't know if any of them were Christians other than Paul, Luke, and also Aristarchus was on this ship as well. We don't know if anybody else was a Christian, but they could have been fasting for religious purposes. But also they could have been fasting just because they felt sick and didn't want to eat. And I know for me, when I feel sick, I don't want to eat. And I always want to eat. So it could have been a number of things as to why they didn't take food. Or actually, it could have also been that some of the food was thrown out with that cargo that they tried to lighten the ship with. And so they didn't have a lot to eat. And so they were trying to ration it out a little bit. Could have also been that. So any number of reasons as to why they did not eat. But Paul is now begging them to take some food. He says, "Therefore, I beg you to take some food, for this is for your safety, for not a hair will perish from any of your heads." When he said this and had taken some bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and then he broke it and began to eat. Then they all cheered up and they also took food. So now Paul encourages the entire ship into eating just by giving this encouraging prayer. I know for me that whenever I'm feeling very discouraged or depressed about something, I really like to talk to my mom because she's a good influence on me. And so I'll call my mom and she will often pray with me over whatever thing that I'm feeling discouraged about. And I'm very blessed to have that in my life. I am extremely blessed to have somebody like that in my life who will pray with me when I am feeling discouraged. A lot of people don't have that. And I highly encourage you to find somebody who is a good friend, who will give you good advice and who will pray with you when you are feeling discouraged, because prayer really works. Prayer really works to make you feel less discouraged. Because we are communicating with God. It is the most powerful thing that we humans can do, is to communicate directly to God, who is all powerful. And you might be saying, "Jen, you know, I've tried praying in the past and it just doesn't work. It seems like nothing I ever pray about ever works." Well, my question to you is, what else are you going to do? Are you going to use your own power to try to fix something? Because I can guarantee that won't work in the long run. Just as these sailors and soldiers here on the ship were trying to use their own power to save themselves, yet nothing was working. You can try to use your own power, but it's not going to help you in the end. So what else are you going to do? Prayer is the most effective thing that anybody can do. I heard someone say recently that prayer is not a last resort. It should be the first resort, because prayer is communicating directly with an all-powerful God. And just because God doesn't work the same way that you and I work, where he doesn't just answer you right on the spot, he doesn't talk to people exactly like that, that doesn't mean he's not listening and answering your prayer in a way that you just aren't expecting or aren't seeing right now. Like, for example, this entire passage of scripture that we're reading today, these men are out at sea for 14 whole days, being tossed back and forth by this terrible storm. Maybe some of them were praying and were wondering why God wasn't answering their prayers. But God was answering their prayers. God was directing them to this island so that they could all be saved there. But because it took 14 days, I'm sure people were probably thinking, "Where is God? God doesn't exist. Why is it that we are still in this situation?" Prayer does work, but we have to have faith that we are talking to an all-powerful God and that he is listening. And we also have to have faith that God is working, even though we as humans cannot see what God is doing. So prayer does work. Do not give up on prayer. But prayer, besides just talking to God and asking God to help us, it's also extremely encouraging, like I said. So this prayer that Paul says in the presence of everyone encourages all of the soldiers and all of the sailors and all the prisoners to eat food. It says that there are 276 souls on the ship and everyone had eaten enough. It says they cheered up, they took food and everyone ate. So they didn't ration it out anymore. They all ate it up. Then after this, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Don't forget that these guys were all on a wheat ship. The ship was transporting wheat from Alexandria, Egypt, up to Rome. And so the ship they're on is a wheat ship. And now they are throwing out the wheat because they want to save their lives. They know that they are about to make a big impact with the ship onto ground. And they want the ship to be as light as possible for when that happens so that nobody dies from the impact. So finally, they throw out all of the the wheat that they had worked so hard for, all of their profit is now in the sea. When it was day, they didn't recognize the land, but they noticed a certain bay with a beach, and they decided to try to drive the ship onto it. Casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time untying the rudder ropes. So now they are hoping to land on this beach instead of on rocky ground, because the beach would be much better for the ship, obviously, to run aground on than rocky, terrible, you know, rocks, obviously. So they're trying to steer the ship towards the beach, and they're getting rid of all of the anchors and leaving them in the sea. So truly, this ship was done. Every bit of profit from this ship was gone. And I think the men at this point realize it. So they're doing every last measure they can to save their lives. Hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But coming to a place where the two seas met, they ran the vessel aground. So somehow, the ship didn't exactly go where they wanted to, and they ran the vessel aground. So the bow struck, I believe it's pronounced bow, right? Yeah, definitely. The bow struck and remained immovable, but the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. So the ship now, being run aground, is collapsing into itself because the bow was immovable, and the stern, the backside of the ship, was getting pummeled by waves. And so now the ship is literally folding in on itself. But now at this point in time, because they hit the ground, the soldiers are thinking about killing the prisoners. Because back in these days, Roman soldiers would be killed themselves if they allowed any prisoner to escape. It was a very harsh punishment. So they're thinking, you know, these prisoners, this is a prime chance for them all to escape and swim out to sea, which I don't know why any prisoner would ever do that after being in a ship, in a shipwreck, a storm for that long. But the soldiers aren't thinking right, you know, and so they're all scared for their lives for many reasons. And so they're considering just killing all the prisoners. This would include Paul. But the centurion, who really liked Paul, nixed the entire plan. He's like, no, we're not doing that. They probably won't swim and escape. That would be stupid. So he nixes the plan and commands the prisoners who know how to swim to throw themselves overboard and go toward the land, and the rest should follow. Some on planks, some on other things from the ship. So they all escape safely to the land is what it says. So every single person got to land completely safely. And the prophecy that Paul had said came true. None of them were hurt. Even their hair wasn't hurt is what Paul had said. Paul promised the men that they would be safe, and they were. And this is because of Paul's great faith and his prayer life. I'm sure that when all of this first happened, Paul was very concerned and very scared himself. He had been in shipwrecks before. Who wants to be in a shipwreck? And Paul was praying to God, and God answered Paul's prayer. But it took faith. It took faith for Paul to relay that message to the centurion and to relay the message to the captain of the ship. And Paul had complete faith through all of this that God was going to do exactly what he told Paul that he was going to do. So prayer works. So we need to have faith, not only an active prayer life, but also we need to have faith the same way that Paul did, that God hears us and he's working things out in his own good time. Faithful listeners, I hope you all check out the links listed in the description of this episode, because you're going to find a lot of things. You're going to find my Facebook page. You are going to find my blog page. You're going to find the YouTube channel. And I have been talking to my sister, who manages my Facebook and my blog. And we decided that the blog is now going to kind of go with the podcast, if that makes sense. So future blog posts are actually going to expand more upon things that I talked about on the podcast. So that's going to be really exciting. It's just going to be more information about a specific topic that I talked about. So definitely check out the website and subscribe to the email so that you don't miss upcoming blog posts, especially if you're interested in things that we have been talking here on the podcast. You're definitely going to want to check out the blog for supplemental information about various topics. Faithful listeners, have a wonderful Thursday. I will see you tomorrow for an episode out of 1 Samuel. Happy listening, and God bless.